Hey, wasn't Doug Hutchison a delight? What a super guy. Super guy. Open lines for you tonight on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget now, on Fridays, we have that prayer consciousness moment where everybody takes just a little moment of their time during the day and just concentrates on people who are in need of that energy, that very powerful energy that you possess to help them get through times. And people like Moondog at the Nighthawk Zone who lives for your prayers and your strength, and he's holding on. So keep doing what you do. Those of you who have emailed me, your friends, your loved ones, and in some cases even you are on that list now. And I added my sister and my daughter on those lists too, so they can get through what they're going through right now as well. So when we come back, we'll take open lines. But I got to tell you this story. I was at a restaurant a couple days ago, and that's what's got me going into the special topic line we're going to open up tonight. And Tom and I are having dinner right before the show. You know, we try to break at about 6, 7 o'clock Pacific time so we can get back in time, even though we're here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon all day. So there are long days for us. And a woman is coming out of the restroom. And she's got 7 feet of toilet paper stuck on her shoe. Now, I've got to tell you, you talk about an embarrassing moment. Unbelievable. I'm opening up a special hotline for you. Life's embarrassing moments, if you want to share them with us. That's 818-817-0021. 818-817-0021. And what better than a Friday night for a night of open lines? Let's go to them now. Dayton, Ohio, we go east of the Rockies. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Okay. Having fun.
Yeah, I'm having fun too. I wanted to talk to you about I think it was August 11th. There were meteor showers.
Yes, the Perseids, as they called them.
Yeah. I actually live right next to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Okay.
And as I look up into the sky, I can see only maybe two out of how many had probably actually passed. Now, why I can't see this is because the base, they keep their lights on, like, very, very bright. I can't see anything in the sky.
It's almost like daylight out there, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. And I had actually thought, this is just a little bit brighter than usual for them to keep their lights on. It just kind of creeped me out. I was just kind of weirded out by it.
What do you think's going on, by the way, at Wright? Anything?
Probably not too much developing-wise, you know. But I know that, developing with technologies, there's probably a lot going on over there.
Do they still talk about Roswell over there?
Around the town that I live in, I actually have come across a few people who do talk about what has gone on and everything. And amongst my friends, we usually like to talk about it. It's a very interesting subject.
Do you ever see large triangular-shaped objects near that base?
Not necessarily triangular. I do see weird objects in the sky from time to time that I just cannot explain. And then sometimes I will think maybe, well, I'll just like pass it off as a plane, but then the energy of my mind will be like, maybe not.
Okay, thanks, Mark. We'll go next to Johannesburg, California. Donna, you're up with us.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've talked to you a few times. I'm out here in the desert by China Lake Naval Weapons.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I see a lot of different things going by. Anyway, George, I was wondering on the Green Mile, John Coffey was being taken to Melinda to cure her.
Yes.
And he pointed to the sky and he said, "Look, boss, there's the old lady in the rocking chair." And of course, my star clusters, I've got an upside down teapot, I've got a kite, I make up my own myself. And do you know what that star?
I don't know what that constellation is he was talking about.
I don't either.
I had the same question because I don't think there's a lady in a rocking chair up there. But that, you know what? But in his mind, that's what he saw.
Yeah. And I'm just, he might have been kind of giving a hint, too, that Melinda was going to live to be an old lady in a rocking chair.
That could be, too.
Yeah. Okay. Have a good night, George.
All right, Donna. Next up, we go to Ham Lake, Minnesota. Steve, you're up with us on Life's Most Embarrassing Moments. Hi, Stephen.
Yeah. Hey, George. How you doing?
Good.
This was quite a while ago.
By the way, somebody's already told me that he was making reference to the constellation Cassiopeia. There you go. That's quick. Okay.
We were living in Colorado at the time, before my wife and I got married, and we didn't get down to Denver all that often, so she wanted to go to the mall. And I had been playing in a softball tournament earlier in the day, and didn't want to go walking to the mall in my baseball uniform and whatnot. And she'd brought me a change of clothes, but no underwear, so I had a pair of jeans and a T-shirt and tennis shoes and whatnot. And we went into this women's store, and she naturally, you know, had to try lots of stuff on, and I was trying to be the dutiful boyfriend and wait patiently. And I was sitting on this table.
Sure.
And women would walk past me and look at me, and then I would get this look or a kind of a scolding, you know, and they'd walk away. And I just couldn't understand what was going on. And I'd been sitting there for about a half an hour or so until I looked down. And my fly was open, and I was hanging in the breeze.
Oh,
on a pile of panties in a women's clothing store. And
you're lucky they didn't arrest you.
Yeah, I left, and she found me in the van about an hour later, and she's like, "Well, where'd you go?" And I said, "I don't want to talk about it. I just want to leave."
It's going to be difficult to top that one already, and you're the first caller. I love it. Thanks. Next up, we go to San Diego, California, west of the Rockies. Got a lot of friends out there today. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
John.
What's going on?
Hey, this is exciting. I'm really just blown away right now. I listen to you all the time driving home from L.A., 100-mile trip. And
you do that every day?
Well, just about, it seems like. A lot of driving.
Where's traffic the worst, coming or going?
In the morning, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's what I thought.
But I got some questions about time travel, man. I've been like a big time travel like nut all my life. And, you know, you often think, you know, God, if this is at all even possible, right? And you could somehow go back in time and you were trying to save the world or do something to change things to make, you know, to save the world from itself, how would you do it? Where would you start? Who would you go to? Who would you trust?
I would first go back. I would want to witness biblical times. To me, that would be one of the most fascinating moments.
Is that where you'd start?
I would start there. I would want to see what was going on, and I would want to be a witness, and that would be interesting. I don't think I would try to change world events, though it's very difficult not to. For example, what if you're standing next to JFK in Dallas and he's ready to get into the motorcade? What would you tell him? Would you say, you know, Mr. President, don't go on this trip. Don't do it. Don't go by the school book depository. Or would you just let it happen? Not easy.
You know, would you would they even believe you, you know?
They would arrest you, probably.
Yeah. They think you were up to something,
yeah,
right?
That's right. What would you do?
Well, you know, you often think about you would want to go back to probably close to the end to prevent the end, right?
So you wouldn't go back. You'd go forward, right?
Well, I'd want to go back right before the end happened to try to stop it somehow. But how would you do it?
Well, yeah, but see, here, this is not my take. I mean, the end hasn't happened yet, so you would have to go forward to see the beginning of the end.
Oh, wow. Now I'm getting really confused.
See? That's what happens.
That's great stuff, man.
All right, John, enjoy and be safe. That's a long trip every day. Mike in Cincinnati, first-time caller. What's going on in Cincy, Mike?
Oh, well, hi, George. I've been listening to your show a lot.
Thank you.
Well, one thing, this may be a little different from what has been discussed this evening, but I have been listening in on several different episodes. You're talking about conspiracy theories and the New World Order and how supposedly the powers that are behind that do things where they have created a situation, wait for the public to respond to it, and then, quote, come up with a solution, a convenient solution. I was wondering, I've been noticing the recent increase in gun violence that's been building up since the late 70s. I mean, there have been a few several instances before the 70s, but it just seems like since like 78, 79, it's just steadily on each year, there's more and more and more crazies out there. I wonder if there's something being done on television or on the movies, which is some subliminal messages.
To make them go do this?
Yeah.
Like Manchurian candidates, just send them out there.
Basically, I mean, it would not affect normal people, but people who are maybe a bit on the edge, and it'll play on their paranoia.
And it flips them.
Flips them, and they go crazy. And the reason for this is to make people so upset and so afraid that we have to outlaw guns. We have to get rid of them. You know.
And as you know, I'm a supporter in guns. I think people who have the ability to carry generally are safer. And in states that have passed concealed weapons laws, those crime rates have dropped.
I know that.
You know, and you know, if a criminal knows you can't carry a gun or you don't have one, you know,
right,
what? You're a target.
Right. But this goes back to what the New World Order wants, is to, you know, make everybody dependent on the state for their protection.
Well, the New World Order wants to do away with guns for several reasons. But the biggest reason is they know that in order to control us, we cannot be armed.
Right, exactly.
You know, look what happens in China and every other country where they start to do this.
It's
very dangerous. And,
right.
You know, and what they do is they cite examples of sickos who get guns.
Mm-hmm.
Who are on drugs and they're on these prescription things and they go wacko.
Yeah.
And they do what they've done. And we all know these stories.
Right. But I'm saying is that I wonder if somebody is like putting like on, I wonder if they did like a study on all the mass shooters and look at what TV shows they watched.
That's interesting. I'm not sure. You know, they have done some minor studies on violence with video games and things like that. And I think they all might have some kind of contributory effect to all of this. But still, I got to tell you, I'd rather be next to an off-duty police officer who's carrying a gun than somebody who isn't, if you're in a situation all the time. Let's go to John in Minnesota, life's most embarrassing moments. Go ahead, John. What happened to you? John, are you there? There you go. There, gotcha.
All right, great. Hey, I had to go to the post office today to pick up a box. You know, I got one of those little cards in the mail that says, come to the post office and sign for your box.
You weren't home when they wanted to deliver it, right? So off you go.
That's correct. Off I go. So I'm at the post office. I successfully pick up the box and everything, and I'm walking out. Now, I got to set this up just a little bit here. My best friend recently purchased a new car. It's a black Subaru Impreza.
Did he take advantage of the cash for clunkers or just bought the car?
No, just bought the car. The other car wasn't in that bad a shape, but it was just starting to get a little old, and it was time to go ahead and do an update.
Okay.
So I'm not really used to this car yet. It's not my car. I don't drive it that often, but I can drive it, you know, if I need to. So I figured I would take it over to the post office. So I'm coming out, and, you know, you got that little box on your key ring. I press the unlock key.
Yeah.
I hear the car go beep, beep. And I'm just paying attention to my box and just, you know, getting across the street without getting hit by another car.
Sure.
I'm not really paying attention to the door of the car that I actually open up, which is another black car.
Oh.
But guess what? It's not the Subaru Impreza.
Oh.
I opened up the car. The door came open. It was unlocked. And I'm getting ready to get in it, and I'm looking at the door panel, and I noticed that it has a different color, that it just something registered with me that
it's a different car.
Yeah, I just didn't notice. I'm like, yeah, we didn't have simulated walnut on the panel in the other one. And then all of a sudden, I got that sinking feeling that you get when you've made an honest mistake. And someone else is driving by right when this happens. And I realize, oh, my God, this is not the car that I drove here.
Yeah, you think you violated them.
Yeah, and you're thinking they're coming, they're, you know, if they're watching this, you know, like if the person who owns this car happens to see me standing there with their car door open, you know what I mean? That thought occurs to you. So I just simply stopped. I closed their door. I literally took a step back. I look over to my left, and there's the car that I drove. You know, I hurry over to that car like there's a fire happening. I jump in the Subaru, and I'm like, and there's another car driving, and I'm just like, man, I wonder if somebody saw that whole episode there. You know, because if the owner saw that, they probably would have thought, hey, this guy's breaking into my car.
Yeah, exactly. Then you could talk your way out of it by saying, oh, my God, listen, there's my car right over there. I just kept walking.
Yeah, I would have, and I'm sure it would have been okay. But, you know, just you get that feeling like you're going to have a heart attack. And I got into the car. I got into my car then. And or the car I was using, and I took off. I got home till I got back. I told my friend about it, and she's totally laughing about it. I'm like, "Whew, that could have went really ugly there." Had the circumstances.
Let's top off the story though by you saying, and in your haste to get out of the car into yours, you left the box on the other passenger side of the other car.
You know, thanks to heavens above, I'm not going to be able to say that.
That would have been the classic.
That would have been the classic because there's your name plastered all over the box.
Reminds me of a person who went in to rob a bank and brought with them a deposit slip and asked first before they robbed the bank, would you check my account? So while the teller is checking this guy's account with his name on it, his account number, he pulls out his little note and says, I'm robbing this bank. Give me all your money.
And I heard you tell that story the other day.
How dumb can you get? Unbelievable.
I about died laughing.
Okay, John. Take care.
Thanks a lot, George.
Next up, we go to Moondog from the Nighthawk Zone in Dayton, Ohio. There you go. How are you feeling?
I'm getting better there, George. I appreciate that shout out.
Well, we're sending millions of prayers your way, Moondog. You better get better.
Well, I'm filling those millions of prayers, and please, everybody out there, you just keep praying for everybody you know. And
it works.
Pray for a situation, and it's working, and all these prayers have things happening for me now that I needed to be done. And,
good.
But also, Doug, this is a tremendous actor.
I love him. Just a great guy.
Great. He's a great guy. He's one of them, like Morgan Freeman's. He never gets that big part, but he's always there.
Solid, always there, down to earth, great human being, obviously cares about other people. You know, that to me is what makes Hollywood. When you have people like Doug Hutchison out there and Billy Mumy, people like that, who are just decent human beings, good people, and, you know, that makes this job fun.
Also, George, just one more real quick thing. I had been sleeping about, like, you know, just out of the blue, just, like, falling asleep, dropping asleep about 17, 18 hours a day.
Jeez.
And today I had to lay down because we went out to lunch, and I come home, I was feeling bad. So I told Mooncat that I needed to lay down. And I dreamed that you called my name out.
It's no dream.
And it's no dream. I was going to send you an email earlier and everything and tell you about it. And
all right, well, you keep getting better, Moondog. We got to take this break and come right back. That's Moondog from the NighthawkZone.com. A little bit later on tonight, I'll do my traditional shout-out to all those sites that support Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, we've got Life's Most Embarrassing Hotline at 818-817-0021. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. My son called me today, 27 years old. He and his wife are expecting their first little baby in January. He was born on January 2nd, and the little baby is due on January 2nd. Go figure, huh? But, you know, he senses something, too. It's really strange. People around this country are beginning to feel something, some kind of an event, not necessarily some kind of calamity, but something big. And I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but It's almost like we're the Princeton Eggs, you know? It's almost like we're the Webbot folks. We're feeling this thing together. It's really strange. If you are, you might want to check in with us and let us know. Let's go to the phones. Clearwater, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hello, Larry. Thanks for holding.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Wow. What got you to finally call, Larry?
Well, I've been trying most every Friday night.
For 50 years, right?
Yeah. Well, I remember 5 years ago you got me through the hurricanes.
Oh, yeah. We sure
and
did.
One of them knocked the power out for like a week.
Oh, gosh.
But I listen to Coast every night.
Well, thank you, Larry.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I just want to talk about Judas from the Bible.
Judas from the Bible. Okay.
Yeah. And the way I look at it, he was pretty much a fall guy.
Some people think he was a fall guy.
Yeah, that's the way I think.
The latest theory is he might have been a fall guy.
Yeah, because like when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had to do that. So, like I said, he was pretty much a fall guy. Everybody hates him now and everything.
Well, where do you think his spirit is these days?
Between you and me and most of America, I think he's in heaven.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you think they brought him up there?
Yeah, because, you know, forgiveness is pretty much big time with Jesus.
Well,
and you know,
the theory was that this had to happen.
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
And that Judas basically was in on the game, right?
Yeah,
he was in
yeah.
on it. They said, "Judas, you got to do this for us."
Exactly.
And so he did. And that would explain why he's up there.
Yeah. I know a lot of people don't think that way, but that's the way I feel because forgiveness is a big thing.
Absolutely. Hey, Larry, knock on wood, not a lot of hurricanes these days.
Oh, tell me about it.
We might get through this year with just a few.
Yeah, that one year when the power went out for 5 days, it was like, well, I have to board up, take it down. Next week, board up, take it down. Oh,
it's amazing. Of course, old Hurricane Bill is doing his thing. He's down to a Category 2 now, though. That's good.
Yeah, well, thank God he's in the Atlantic.
I want to test. Do you know anything about Broadway musicals, old ones?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you 5 books if you know the name of this play.
Okay?
Since we talked about Bill. What's the name of the play where this song was My Boy Bill?
Oh, Showboat.
No. Great show, though.
Oh, okay.
Good guess, though. Thanks, Larry.
No problem.
All right. Next up, we go to Kingston, New York. First-time caller, Lorelei. I like that name. Lorelei. Sounds like a mermaid name.
Yeah, it's the name of a fairy.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Did your parents name you because of that?
No, I chose the name.
Oh, you chose
yeah.
the Oh, you changed your name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What was your birth name, if you want to tell us?
Jessica.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but everyone's named that.
Lorelei is different. I'll give you that.
Yes. The first time I listened to this show, I was 9. And now that I'm old enough to listen to stay up late at night, I listen pretty much every night. I'm very excited to be on the line.
You were 9 when you first listened to this show?
Yes.
I don't think Larry King was doing Coast to Coast at the time.
Who?
Nothing. That's just a little inside joke.
Sorry. Yeah. So I'm calling because something unusual happened at my house that actually involved the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Okay. Well, we lived in the middle of the woods and, and we've had some, like, 1 or 2 sort of weird things happen, but I am really scared, so I just ignored it.
Okay.
And just thought to myself, oh, it was nothing, and for about a year. And then I was asleep, and I usually have the radio tuned to the station that I can catch Coast to Coast AM on.
Great.
But it was off, and I'm asleep, and then I hear the radio turn on very loud. And it was last Tuesday, so it was Kombucha. talking about ghosts. And the first thing I hear is ghosts tend to something, something. And I'm asleep, so I just, like, cover my ears, and I'm rolling over, like, oh, turn it off, turn it off. And I thought my boyfriend had turned it on by accident, but he was in the other room, and he comes in to say to me, you know, why'd you do that? I was like, I thought you did it, just turn it off. So it's not unusual that Coast to Coast AM was tuned on the radio, or even so much that it turned on by itself, but it wouldn't turn off after that.
Oh, gosh, Lorelai, now I'm going to have to tell you about our new technology. You're not gonna believe this, but I might as well tell you. All right, we've been trying to keep it a secret over all these years, and we've been testing it, of course, in little ways. But
of course,
we have the ability to turn on your radio, tune your radio, and keep it on. We have the ability to bypass your off switch.
You know, that would actually make me feel better if that was true. Than thinking that it was some sort of entity trying to turn on my radio.
And if you believe that, we're going to sell you some land in Florida.
Oh, that would be great. But, yeah, we pressed all the buttons, and we slid the little slider, and we checked to see what the alarm was set to, which was 11 a.m., not 3:25 in the morning. And I'm just...
You sound like you have a nose cold. Do you have an allergy or something?
No, I'm smoking a cigarette because I'm bad.
You're smoking a cigarette in your nose?
No.
Oh, all right.
But yeah, so now I'm afraid that I have some sort of ghost in my house that is using, that tried to use the fact that y'all were talking about ghosts.
Well, you might, but it sounds like it's a friendly ghost.
I hope so. But again, I hope that your technology thing is actually true.
Well, you never know. That may be the next thing we do. Thanks for the call. Next up, we go to Honolulu, Hawaii. Tim, you're up with us. Hey, how's it going on Oahu?
Aloha, George.
Hi.
It's going pretty nice here.
Great.
You wanted a life's embarrassing.
What happened to you? Nothing gets embarrassing in Hawaii.
Oh, no. This
land of paradise, isn't
this
it?
This didn't happen in Hawaii. This was quite a while ago.
What happened?
Well, I was in the Army. Right after basic training, I was doing my advanced training, which was pretty long. And they were getting ready to send me on a hardship tour and figured that they would need to take out all of my teeth.
Oh!
So anyway, they did that. They gave me dentures, and I'm 19-year-old kid running around with brand new dentures and ended up going on a blind date with a friend. I don't know if you can see where this is going, but this is a true story. So anyway, on the blind date, I'm sitting in the back seat with this girl, and we'd just gotten started with the movie, and all of a sudden we'd had our popcorn and I sneeze. And guess what flies out of my mouth onto the floor?
Huh? There's no way out after that.
There's no way out after that. We had to get flashlights out. I'm searching on the floor of the... Oh, it's life's embarrassing moment.
Oh, my God. The sticky stuff just didn't work.
No, I hadn't learned that yet. I was still too young.
Now, you know, now you can have, implanted teeth. You know,
yeah.
They can take care of you perfectly.
Very expensive. Would you care to make a donation?
Oh, God, I got to worry about taking care of a guy with cataracts, I think.
I think it's about $1,000 a tooth. Can you imagine?
Is it that much?
Yeah.
Well, get one or two.
Yeah. Well, I've got
Make sure you just space them closer together.
Yeah, there we go. I can look like whoever.
I have these Billy Bob teeth that a dentist, he was a dentist. He quit his practice and he ended up making teeth. And so for Halloween one year, I bought them, and then I bought another pair and another pair and another pair. And they're all kinds. And many times, and I still do this, I will go to some place or some event. If I'm speaking somewhere, I've been known to just smile with these things on. And you get the greatest visual sight of people's reaction when you do stuff like that. But I wore one of these once into a restaurant and ordered, and the waitress came up to me, and I'm telling you, these things are horrid, horrid, you know, teeth coming everywhere. I mean, it was unbelievable. It makes Morgus look good. And she took my order and never said a thing. She came back, served it, never said a thing. I gave her a credit card. She took it, ran it. I signed it, gave her a tip. On my way out, I took the teeth out and I said, "Why didn't you say anything?" She said, "Because I see this all the time." Next up, Dave in Ontario. Life's most embarrassing moments. You're up with us. Hey, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, George? Good.
Good. I got a really embarrassing story. It's an opportunity to tell this to people. I don't tell this story very often. I picked up my girlfriend. This happened years ago. I was very young.
Uh-huh.
And I picked up my girlfriend from her parents' place. It was about 11:30 in the morning or so. And we pull out our driveway, start heading down to the main intersection. There's a set of lights there. And just to set the scene, there's a community center on the corner and a high school right beside it and an apartment complex on the adjacent corner and a little a plaza with a pizza store in it. Lots of people. So we pull out of the driveway, and she says, "What's that sound?" And I said, "I don't hear anything." I kept driving, and I heard a scraping sound on the ground, and it sounded like something was dragging underneath the car. And it was winter. It was cool outside. My boots and my jacket on, and forgot to do my seatbelt up. Well, I opened up the door, and the fast idle was on in the car. It was a 1984 Pontiac Grand Prix 305 two-barrel. And so I leaned out, and we stopped at the light, trying to look under the car. And I can't quite see what might be on the ground, so I reach a little further to look. Well, my hand slipped off the steering wheel. I fell out of the car, and the car takes off.
Oh, no.
So I'm laying on the ground. My car is taken off. And I get up, I'm in my coat, and my boots aren't done up, so I'm all clumsy. I get up and start chasing my car through the intersection.
Oh.
And luckily, I noticed it was a green light, and it was flashing.
And it's still going, right?
So I had the advanced green, and the two cars in front of me had gone through the intersection and made a left. And here's my car, the only moving car in the intersection, going straight for the light standard on the far corner.
Oh.
With my girlfriend in the car going, ah!
Screaming.
Oh, yeah, she was not impressed. There were people everywhere, kids, and oh, it was...
Did you make it?
I started chasing my car. I got up on the side rail of the car, reached in, and I'm balancing on the door and the side sill of the car. I reach in to grab the steering wheel. Sure enough, don't I hit the light standard? The light standard falls down on the car. I just ducked inside quickly enough and managed to get my whereabouts, and my girlfriend's still screaming. I'd only known her 2 weeks. Oh, it was unbelievable. Well, everybody seen what was going on, and yeah, it didn't end very well.
No, I had a friend of mine. You don't drive and drink. Just don't do it. Anyways, he did.
Oh.
And he's driving home one night, and he's doing the speed limit. Maybe a little too slow. That's always a sign, too. Officers will tell you that. He wasn't weaving. He wasn't doing anything like that. Somehow he comes up on a stop sign, and he hits it, and he knocks it down. Cops are behind him, and they've been following him, and they're not going to stop him at this point, but they're just following him. And, you know, if the speed limit's 40, he's doing maybe 25, okay? So there's a little red flag right there. Anyways, he hits this stop sign, and he gets out. The cops are watching this. And at this point, it's an accident. They're going to go up and ask if he's okay, and then he's going to go home. But he gets out of his car, and he goes up to the stop sign, which is now on the ground, cradles it in his lap and starts crying. And he says, "I killed you. I killed you." He actually thought he hit some skinny guy.
Oh, my.
And the cops are watching this, and they're just rolling. But, of course, they picked him up, and they got him, and he learned his lesson the hard way.
Have you ever had a serious car accident, George?
When I was 18 years old, I was driving to college, University of Detroit. My father had given me his older car that instead of trading in, he kept it. It was an old Mercury, a big old clunker.
Nice old car.
Yeah. And it was raining, and I was on the expressway going to the school. And I kind of went up a little hill. I mean, there's not a lot of hills in Detroit, but this was just a little irregular thing in the freeway. And coming down it, it's raining, and I put my foot on the brakes because all the cars were stopped in front of us, and I hydroplaned, and I couldn't stop it. I mean, that was just like being on ice. And I smashed into this car and totaled this old Mercury, and I thought it was okay. I bounced off the steering wheel. I called my dad. He came and got me, and, you know, he was upset for both reasons. One was I hurt, and two, the car's gone. And, you know, and that was it. And I thought it was okay. This is the weird part of the story. Weeks later, I have never been so sick in all my life. My nervous system must have just collapsed. I could not go to restaurants. I couldn't sit in a car.
Yeah, I could see that.
Everything, sure. Your whole body, your inside of your body, something happens to it.
And, there was one time when I was out in British Columbia. I spent a year and a half out in Surrey, B.C., and I was pulling out of a parking lot, and there was a car in front of me, and I'd made the corner coming out towards the road, and the car was stopped waiting to merge into traffic. And I'd said to myself, just something, I'm going to hit this car. And so I pulled up behind the car, and I stopped, and I was looking as he was, and I seen an opening, and I thought I seen him go. Well, I seen there was enough room for me behind, so I hit the gas, nailed the guy. He didn't move. And I said to myself, I'm going to hit this guy, and I hit him.
Yeah, I've been hit out here in L.A. three times, two by people who did not have driver's licenses or insurance, and I've been rear-ended all three times. On Ventura, they just slam right into you.
We could do this all night and tell stories about accidents we've had. I'm sure I've had plenty of my own. I'm going to listen off the air.
Thank you very much for letting
me on. And God bless Coast to Coast audience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see. Do we have time for another call? Nah, I don't want to do it. We'll save all the calls when I come back at the top of the hour. If you need to email me, that's George@coasttocoastam.com. We've got a great list of guests for you. Another hour plus, 2 hours ago, of open lines for you. Stephen Schwartz, though, is going to join us on Monday talking about the power of healing and power of prayer. You know, we do this on Fridays. He's going to be with us. UFO investigator Phil Imbrogno joins us on Tuesday. Incredible program on store Wednesday. David Hatcher Childress joins us talking about lost cities. And then Linda Moulton Howe joins us with her monthly report, her investigative report, of course. So we will be doing that as well on Coast to Coast. And Ian Punnett will be sitting in on Friday as well. As far as this weekend, you look forward for Ian and his special guest, Jeff Charlotte, as they talk about the connection between a secret cult called The Family. And then George Knapp will be talking with Richard Dolan about UFOs and the national security state on Sunday. Right here on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines continue along with life's most embarrassing hotline next.